Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Liberty Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I'm talking about the emotional attachment that we have with our vehicles, that emotional attachment we have where we just can't let them go. I've had many clients tell me that their wife just can't let go of that car, or their husband just can't sell that vehicle that needs all this help. They keep putting money into it. They don't know why they can't get rid of it. Myself, I deal with it myself. I have a car that I just can't get rid of. I'm emotionally attached to it. And so I thought on today's show, it would be great to tackle the reasons why this happens in our life. Why can't she get rid of the car? Why can't he get rid of the car? What's the reasoning behind it so we can start understanding the situation a little better and understand how to overcome this? Because I think this is super important. And it's interesting because I think that many of us are attached to our vehicles. Many of us are attached to our cars. We love our cars. We're connected to our vehicles. We see them and their personality. We feel like our car has a sincere personality, which makes a lot of sense. And so we're going to be talking about that in today's show and really connecting and discussing about that, because it's going to be very interesting to have this discussion. It's going to be very interesting to be able to understand why this is and why that happens. So let's talk about that right now, because I think now more than ever, many of us probably have always been. It's been something that's really been tough for us to let go. It's tough to overcome and it's tough to let go because we really connect with these vehicles. We connect with them because we give them almost a type of personality. There was a study that happened in 2006 where, you know, the participants in the study were involved, where they understood their personality, and it was interesting how they would describe their personality and how they would describe their car's personality. And it's interesting when you think about a vehicle having a personality. I mean, I totally agree and totally understand that. But it can really cause us to want to keep that car no matter what. It was interesting. They did an Auto Trader survey that more than 70% of the respondents were at least somewhat, if not very, attached to their cars. And 36% of the people that were surveyed in this Auto Trader survey described their vehicle as an old friend. And another study, nearly half of all the drivers assigned a gender to their vehicle, and about one-third of them actually named them. And so, I mean, many of you might say that I might be preaching to the choir here, because I get it. I mean, many of us have named our cars. They have specific names. You know, there has been given a gender. There's been given a personality trait. And for many car owners, emotional attachment can also come hand in hand with socioeconomic mobility. There's a lot of research to show that. You know, car owners often assign human-like attributes to our cars as well. In another study, they found significant difference in those situations between the people that were actually in the study versus how they, you know, discussed and talked about their vehicle. And I think this is very interesting. I also think that, you know, many of us actually look at our cars as having types of personalities, right? And there was a study done in 2010, researchers in the University of Michigan asking a group of participants to describe their cars in technical terms, such as, you know, unresponsive or versatile. And other participants to actually describe their cars as personality terms, like enthusiastic or quarrelsome. You know, it was interesting, afterwards, both groups were asked about their willingness to replace their cars. And those in the personality group were far less keen to do so than in the technical group. And were also much less likely to take into account the quality and functioning of their car in context of replacing it. So this is very interesting, too. So the functionality of the car. So even if the car was not in good shape, you know, the emotional attachment would trump those types of demands. encouraging the overspending of money, maintaining, and also preventing from selling it. So I think that this is very interesting. And so on today's show, I want us to examine this emotional attachment, how we have this emotional attachment, you know, how connected we get with our vehicles, because I think if we actually look at this, you know, and be able to study it, I think it's a very interesting aspect. I also think that many of us spend a lot of time in our cars, and because we spend a lot of time in our cars, you know, it's like anything in life. You begin to really appreciate that time. You know, it would be like spending time with a friend, you know. You begin to appreciate that time. You spend more time with them. And as a friend, you know, when you're spending more time with them, you probably overlook some of their issues as well because they become a friend to you. They're there for you. They're willing to be there for you in thick and thin. And so sometimes we overlook things because, quite honestly, that person's been there for us. And that's something that truly does matter and something that I think is important for us to understand and grasp. And so we're going to take a look about that today because I think this is all very interesting because I do think that there's a bonding, how it looks, you know, the adventures that the individual has had in the vehicle. I think that the more adventures you've had in the vehicle, the more you're wanting to keep that vehicle, the more life changes that you've gone through in a vehicle. And that's a very interesting dynamic, too, is, you know, our life changes, change in general. And I think that's something, too, is that many of us are going through loads of changes in our lives. And those changes can be overwhelming. Those changes can be very stressful because they're just stressful. I mean, change to many people is extremely stressful. You know, change can be a very stressful aspect in life. And so if there's something that's a consistent in your life, that can be, that can bring you reassurance. And I've had clients that when we talk about it, and I understand it myself very well, is that when you're going through a lot of change, there's a lot of family dynamic change, maybe some different changes in your roles in your job or your career. And all these things are kind of happening at a very similar time. You know, having a constant, having something that's a constant can bring a lot of clarity, or it can provide some, you know, just some peace of mind, you know, that can be very helpful. And so I think that a lot of times people will hold on to cars that are challenging as far as they're financially challenging. It's a lot of money to keep them up. There's a lot of work that's involved. And I think that many people keep going through that process because it's the one thing that they have that's the same. You know, maybe you also got that car when you just got a new job. Maybe you remember taking your wife in the car when they were pregnant, you know, and going to have the baby. Maybe you remember picking up your first, you know, your dog in that car and taking your dog home. And all the things that happen there, you know, all these, you know, these very life-changing aspects of things that happen. And we begin to identify with that vehicle, and that's very normal. And I feel like that's a very normal feeling. I think that when you're also very mindful and in the moment, being in that vehicle can be, you know, very calming, very soothing. And I think that these things can all create this reality of not wanting to get rid of the car. I mean, it's hard. I mean, I even looked up online to see, you know, different things about what other people are writing about. There's even parts of actual, you know, Google aspects here, you know, that you can look up, but it says how to part with your car when you're in love with a car. How do you deal with it, you know? I mean, you know, it's hard, you know, and it, you know, they even say, you know, you got to go through the stages of grief. You want to make sure that car goes to a good home. You know, I mean, you know, you want to do that and you got to move on. It says specifically, don't become Facebook friends with the next owner. You got to move on. And I know some of you are like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. But some of you out there are getting exactly what I'm saying because you understand. You understand, because there is a sentimental value that many of us have on our vehicles. And so we're going to be talking more about that today, more about ways of maybe trying to, you know, not be so attached. I'm not going to, you know, give you all those concepts today, but I'm going to, you know, I'm going to reassure you that we're going to work on that a little bit, because it's hard. And I think that many of us get attached, and I don't see that as a problem. I only see that as an issue if the car really does need to be sold, and there's real, you know, issues with the car, or you need to move on. And I know, and I know that some of you say, hey, you know, I got a garage, it's big enough to hold what I need, I don't need to move on. And so, you know, hey, this is great. This is a show for you learning more about how emotionally attached you are to your vehicle. For some of you out there, maybe this show might help you to prompt you to say, hey, okay, I really love this car and I really care about it, but I do need to move on. I do need to do this for myself. And, you know, maybe, you know, give you that little push in the right direction to make that reality happen. And, you know, really think about it, because this is real. I mean, you know, when you're going through the big issues in life, when you're taking on the big, you know, the big situations, when you're tackling the big issues, this is important. It's important because you're going to form an attachment. You're going to feel that way. It's just human nature to do that. It's natural, and it's not a bad thing. It doesn't say anything bad about you. Actually, it says that you actually do care, and you develop emotional attachments, which is not a bad thing. And I think that's something that we have to, you know, really accept and understand that, you know, I think that cars really do mimic relationships. You know, I mean, like, you know, with my own vehicle, I have this kind of, you know, push and pull relationship with my car. You know, I love the car. We love each other. We've been through thick and thin together. There's been some crazy things that have happened in that car. I mean, we've almost broken down, but we didn't. You know, I remember driving back from Austin one time and my entire car was leaning. It was leaning. And I got back home, and I remember I got back and I was like, oh my God, you got me all the way back home without breaking down on the highway. You're such a good girl. I'm so proud of you. I remember those things, and I'm sure that many of you have those thoughts and as well as stories yourself. Anybody that's, you know, a driver, somebody that gets around quite a bit, somebody that has to drive a lot for work, drive a lot for travel, what have you, understand. You've been there before. You know, and you resonate with that. And it's interesting how we don't resonate, though, with other people's cars so much, right? You might have a family member that has a car that keeps on breaking down, and your first thought is, you just got to get rid of that car. You just got to get rid of that car. And they keep telling you, no, I can't do it. You know, but now you see, you know, sometimes you got to look at it. It's, you haven't had all those experiences and life changes experiences and, you know, all that in that car. So you don't have that same attachment. And so understanding that we all logistically have a type of attachment here, and be able to respectfully understand other people and their wishes and their thoughts about their vehicle. And there's been so many, you know, different talks about how, you know, a survey reveals relationships with cars mimic relationships with people. You know, exploring those emotional reasons why people's relationships with their car are longer than ever before, and how people are keeping cars longer than ever. And it's a very interesting dynamic. It's a very interesting thing. And in the fear of selling that car to somebody that's not going to take as good of a care of it as you are, you know, worried about what's going to happen next to your car, or what's going to happen next to Mark or Bertha or Jane or whatever your car's name. And so we're going to dig deep into that in today's show on Live Your True Life Perspectives, so that we can really deep dive into that, because I think this is going to be a fun show today. In the meantime, if you haven't already, check out the YouTube channel. Go to YouTube and put in Ashley Burgess, B-E-R-G-E-S, or put in Life Coach Ashley Burgess. You can find out new video content. We put out new video content about 4 times a week. Short videos as short as less than a minute, and longer videos that are obviously longer than a minute. So check into that. Also, if you want more information on me, just go to AshleyBurgess.com. Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S.com. If you'd like to work with me, just go to the coaching session tab and go on and set up a time, and we can work together. If you'd like to send me an email, you can do that as well. Go to the contact form on AshleyBurgess.com. And send me a message. I'll get back to you ASAP. Stay tuned. We got a lot more to discuss on this topic at hand. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in. I'll be back this time in 2 shakes.
I tend to second-guess dinners with friends because they're often interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrolipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your body. bowel wall. If you're allergic to pork or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints, call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit Creon.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's Creon.com.
COVID-19 moves fast, and now you can too. If you feel symptoms, even if they're mild, you should test fast. Test positive and at high risk for severe COVID-19? Then act fast with authorized oral treatments that can be taken at home and must be taken within 5 days from when symptoms begin. COVID-19 moves fast, and now you can too by asking your healthcare provider if an oral treatment is right for you. Learn about a treatment option at TreatCV19.com. This message is sponsored by Pfizer.
Hello, Discover here to explain our cash back match. Here's how it works. We give you cash back for using your Discover card on the things you were going to buy anyway. Then we match that cash back in your first year. And that's why we call it cash back match. Now to recap and say cash back one more time. We match all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year automatically. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Donald Trump warned America. The U.S. dollar is under attack and it's becoming less and less valuable by the day. Hyperinflation and speculation is killing your retirement. Don't leave your money sitting in cash. It's time you diversified and protected your future with physical precious metals. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and get your free digital dollar survival kit and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver today. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 to get your free digital dollar survival kit. And you may qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Advantage Gold is the number one rated gold and silver company in America. Your future is precious. Protect it today when you call Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
That's 800-900-8000.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Liberty Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I'm talking about becoming emotionally attached to your car. And this can be really overwhelming for those out there who are emotionally attached or those out there that don't understand the emotional attachment because it can get really irritating. And I'm one of those people that have gotten emotionally attached to my vehicles. Always. My whole life emotionally attached. And certain vehicles more than others. Certain vehicles certainly more than others. And there's one in particular that I need to sell. I probably want to sell. I don't even really drive her that much anymore. But you see, I don't drive her that much anymore. But it's hard. It's hard to let go. And I think that there's a lot of things there. Like many of you will agree with me on the life changes. You've been through so much changes in your life and this is the constant. You know, Bertha is the constant in life. This is the constant. And it's a very good feeling to have Bertha in your life. Whatever name your car is, whatever name. I don't want to put my name in the thoughts, but you know what I'm saying? That's it. We get it. We're there. I think also spending time in your car. There's a lot of time that we're spending. We're constantly spending time in the vehicle, constantly there. It's taking a lot of our time. And it's something that's true. It really is. And you're there a lot, and there's a lot of emotional attachment there. And that's a normal thing. That's a very normal thing. It's a normal thing to feel. It's a normal thing to be, to have that attachment. Because it would be like if you, you know, went to an office every day and you really were there all the time and you enjoyed being in your office, you would really like that place. You would really enjoy that place. You'd have good feelings there. Also, the adventures you had in the car. Many of us have had major adventures in the vehicle, had major adventures where we're like, wow, we've had all these adventures and all these things have happened and it feels good. And we have these great adventures. And so we think about all the adventures and all the fun that we had in that car, and that can be really awesome as well. And those are things that we need to think about. Those are the things that we have that emotional attachment. We remember, you know, going to, you know, Colorado or driving up to Canada or whatever and having those adventures and having those memories, those really awesome life memories that we have around that situation. And I think those, that's really neat too, because some of you have some major life adventures when it comes to your car, and major life adventures, and those can be really, really fun and memorable, and the constant in that memory was your car. I think one of the things that really connects with me, and I don't know about y'all, but it definitely connects with me, is the close calls. The close calls where you didn't have that accident, or the car didn't really fully break down, you know, at that time, and you were able to get to the destination even though you were scared that you weren't going to get there, that things weren't going to happen. And so you understand that you're like, oh my gosh, you know, if it wasn't for Bertha, if it wasn't for Marcus or whoever, I wouldn't have gotten there. And I think those close calls are, you know, really brings us together. I mean, think about how many times, you know, you're in a situation with someone where it's a close life or death situation. That person's going to be in your life forever, probably, you know. And I think that, you know, a lot of people underestimate, I think, you know, it's a machine, but at the same time, I mean, I think that that machine also has been there for you and being able to see that. And I think that there's that difference between the two groups of people, right? The people that get attached to their vehicles versus the people that don't. The people that get attached to their vehicles put that emotional connection, they put a personality on that vehicle, much different than the other person that doesn't apply a personality to the vehicle, doesn't see it as having human traits or human personalities. And, you know, and that leads me into the next thought, is the relationship. You know, with this, it's like having a relationship with a living being. It's a normal response when you have that connection. And so I think that that's very normal as well. And so many of you might be saying, that's not normal at all. But anybody that's out there that's a car lover knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's very normal to feel that way because you grow an attachment. You connect with that, I was about to say that person. You connect with that vehicle. You have that connection. You've been through thick and thin together. You've been through close calls together. So stay tuned. I got a lot more for you on how we can overcome this a little bit and maybe move in the direction if we need to let go of this vehicle and how to feel okay about it, or at least not as disturbed. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
I tend to second-guess dinners with friends because they're often interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall. If you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints, call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit Creon.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's Creon.com.
USA News update. Former President Donald Trump reiterated his belief that the legal challenges he's facing are a result of Democrats' attempts to thwart his return to the White House.
They indicted me because I'm in first place.
Trump suggested that his strong polling numbers in the Republican primary and even in a hypothetical matchup against President Biden may be prompting Democrats to use legal means against him. Phoenix could set yet another summer heat record if it reaches 110 degrees or more as expected Saturday. That would mark 54 days this year. The previous record was set back in 2020. SpaceX lit up the night sky with the launch of another set of Starlink satellites from Florida's Space Coast. A Falcon 9 rocket carrying 22 Internet satellites blasted off from Cape Canaveral just after 11 Friday night. About an hour later, SpaceX verified that the rocket had effectively placed the satellites into low Earth orbit. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnybay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnybay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnybay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I've been talking about being emotionally attached to your vehicle, and we've been talking about the reasons why we're emotionally attached, and it's very real. Many of you out there who are not car lovers probably don't understand this, but for everybody else out there who is a car lover, who has an attachment, an emotional attachment to a vehicle, you understand that you got there over the years because of the experiences you had, the near close calls you had, the adventures that you had in the car, spending time in that car for long periods of the time, you know, the life changes in your life, the things that happen in that car, and the relationship that you developed over time with that vehicle. And that's very normal. And I think it's very normal because I, too, have a relationship with a car. I have a very deep relationship with one of my cars. And I know that I have to eventually sell her and move on. And it's really, really challenging. But I do have to do it. And I think that we all have to identify at what point have we waited too long? At what point do we need to move on? At what point can we move on? And that's hard because, you know, we always hear of, you know, of people like having the cars in the drive that they don't really use. You know, the tires are deflating. Maybe the car is getting rusted. You know, maybe it's under a tarp, you know, whatever level you have of that vehicle. I mean, we have to kind of get right with it right now and decide what do we need to do. And these are very important things to think about. And I mean, you know, if you're really into a car and you have an emotional attachment to a car, it can be really hard to let it go. It can be really almost impossible to let it go because you don't want to let it go. You have so much riding with that car. You love it. You care about it. And so it can be causing, though, pain in your relationship. It can be causing pain in your wallet. It can be causing pain on your brain as far as this is so much to deal with, too much to deal with, too much to overcome, too much challenge. You might also be having to be proving to your spouse or loved ones that you're really not crazy, spending a lot of money maybe behind people's backs and trying to keep it running. There's a lot of things that happen here. I've seen a lot of things go down, and I understand why it happens, but I think there comes a point when we have to get right with it and part with the car. And I know it's hard, but I mean, there's reason. I mean, if the car is fully running and it's in great shape and you're not having any problems, there's no reason to even have this conversation. But if that is not the case and the car is getting a lot older and there's significant things that are happening with the vehicle and there's significant things that need to be taken care of with the vehicle and you're kind of spending more and more money and more money than is actually really needed, we really need to probably check ourselves at this point and have a conversation and really think about it. What is the best for me? How do I move on? How do I get through this? And how do I move on? And this is all very challenging, I understand. But at the same point, we can learn from this and we can move forward. So let's really think about that. Let's jump into that because I think one of the things that I did, and I can talk about it, and you know, I haven't been completely successful with letting go of my car at this point, but I'm almost there. So I feel like I can at least talk to part of this as far as how to begin the process. And I can give you other information on how to continue the process, but I can tell you what I've done so far. And what I've done so far goes along with about a lot of other people talking about what they did to move forward. Okay, so the first thing was cleaning the car, massively cleaning the vehicle. And, you know, just cleaning every nook and cranny of the car, you know, making it presentable for a potential buyer, you know, really, really wiping the slate clean, you know, and really doing a really good job of it. And you know, doing that, it can be very therapeutic in nature as well. Like the actual cleaning of the car can be very therapeutic. You can put it in a different perspective. It's almost like you don't want to drive the car anymore because it's so clean. Oh my gosh, I don't want to drive this car. I don't want to deal with this. So there's a lot of reasons why I did it. I did that because I feel like, you know, it was the right thing to do. You know, and I set the mood. You know, I had some music on as well as I was washing the car, that sort of thing. So there is a part of it that's important. I also think that you got to get emotional. You know, there has to be some emotional connection because you are. And so we're fighting this emotional situation. And I know that many of you out there are like, you know, I'm not about to cry over any relationship, much less my relationship with my car. But I think many of us do have those emotional feelings. We have those emotional connections. And we have to let that emotion go somewhere, right? We just can't keep holding on to it. And I was reading a lot of articles on this, and there's a lot of articles out there, guys. So if you want to go on Google and put in whatever, you know, like literally how to let go of your car, you know, how to detach, you know, from your emotional connection with your vehicle and be able to move on, almost every single article brings up the fact that you probably need to cry. You need to cry. You need to really purge and cry and get those feelings out. You know, and you know, putting on some music, you know, some people even suggest, you know, getting some ice cream, you know, even watching a movie in your car, can be a good thing. Cause I know that many of you have probably watched a movie in your car. I know that you've listened to music. I know you've eaten in your car. So having that connection and be able to go through that. And And I think that's important. And also having that cry at your house is better than having that cry in front of a dealership or in front of a potential new buyer. I think it's probably better to have that cry on your own. Definitely important to have that emotional connection on your own. And definitely, you know, important to get those feelings out. I think that's important. And I think that it's honest. It's truthful and it's deep thoughts, and I think it's a very important thing. I also think, too, that one of the biggest fears that we have when we have an emotional connection is what's going to happen. You know, if we sell the car, who's going to get it? Are they going to take care of it? Are they going to love it? Are they going to be there for it? Or is it going to get hurt, taken advantage of? And I think we think that way about many things, you know, and this is a relationship, again, that's important for us to analyze and see that. And so I think that it's important to look at, you know, okay, how do we find a good home for it? You know, I've sold cars before on various, on Auto Trader and various things as well. And then, you know, I've vetted those people too, you know, like I've had conversation with them. Anybody that I've ever sold a car to, except for one person who was a little, questionable. But everybody else was very good. Like, they sent me pictures of them in the car, what have you. We still stayed connected. You know, we didn't become Facebook friends, but we did stay connected to some degree, and I was able to know what happened and how, you know, that car went to a good home and that person took care of it. And I think that's important to anybody. I think anybody out there as a car person that knows what I'm talking about, it's like any relationship you had, you want to make sure that that is taken care of, because if you can't keep it any longer, you want to make sure that you do the right thing. You know, one of the other things that I find is interesting is that many of us don't really know where we are with the stages of grief. And I know that we're talking about a car, I get it, but many of us aren't really sure where we are when it comes to the stages of grief and feeling that grief and where you're at in those stages. And that's something that we really need to analyze as well. That's something that we need to take into consideration as well, because that is an important aspect of where we are. And when you look at the stages of grief, there's five stages, you know, and if you look at the Kubler-Ross model, the five stages of grief, you have denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And I think it's important to know where you are. You know, like, for example, if you're still trying to figure out a way of holding onto the car, you're in the bargaining concept. You're bargaining on, how do I do this? What do I got to do to make this work? You know, if you're telling yourself, you know, hey, I'm going to pass this car down from generation to generation. I'm going to give this, you know, to my grandkid or whatever else. That's complete denial, probably, unless it's a super classic car that you can keep going. But otherwise, you're probably in denial, unless this is a super, you know, old school classic car. Definitely in denial. And that's a big piece. I mean, I think that, you know, I am personally, I think, in a depression phase, because I'm at the point where I know I gotta let it go. I haven't come into full acceptance. I'm almost there. I'm teetering on between depression and acceptance. And I think many of you are there right now in the teetering on between the depression and acceptance. Okay, because that's the hardest part. Because I think that in the beginning, you know, you have the denial. And the denial lasts for a long time. Because I remember I was in denial. Like, I'm going to drive this car forever. This is my go-to. Even though we've had all these crazy things happen. And, you know, and my car has kind of been all over the place. And she's very good some days and not so good other days. I was in full denial. And then after I got out of denial, which took me quite a while actually to let go of the denial stage, I got into the anger stage. And anytime anybody would bring it up, it made me mad. Okay? It would make me angry. I was like, why do you bring this up? There's nothing wrong with my car. You know, I don't want to deal with it. I'm fine. Let it go. Why don't you think about your own issues instead of mine? Why can't you look at your own situation? I don't understand why everybody's got to ride my case about this vehicle. And then I did go through the bargaining part where I was bargaining, you know, thinking about, okay, what can I do? I can do this. I could drive it these days. I can take care of this. I can find someone that can really keep this car up. Maybe I can keep it over here in a place that's an easier place to keep it, and somebody that can really upkeep it and be there for it. You know, I was bargaining. I was creating all these items of things that I was going to do and how I was going to do it. And that lasted for a long time, too. I mean, when I really look at the length of time that I've been doing this, for about, I would say I've been going through the process for now a year and a half. Okay, a year and a half. And some of you may say, wow, that's a long time to be still in the stages of grief. But when any relationship, it's really something that's all in a personal situation. I mean, how can we define how long somebody should be in a grieving standpoint? How do we do that? How do we define that for other people? We just don't. But there's ways of maybe pushing us faster. And I remember, you know, people in my own family, oh, you got to hurry up. Come on. What are you doing? I mean, why are you waiting it out? What's wrong with you? And I mean, it got irritating, you know, and it's almost like it did the opposite, right? It's almost like when someone's, you know, like gaining weight and eventually wanting to lose weight. But instead of, you know, but somebody makes a comment each time they go to the refrigerator. Oh, you're going to eat that? You sure? You really need that? You're going to eat that? And then you start sneaking food, right? So it's like, you know, you heard enough about it. You had enough about it. You know, you don't need to keep hearing people telling you, you know, from the peanut gallery what you need to be doing. And that can be challenging in and of itself because a lot of times, you know, people don't put themselves in the shoes of others, you know, and they make decisions, you know, for others from a distance, assuming that they know something, you know, or it's, you know, they know what's best for you or they could do it better. And I'm not saying that that's not the case, but again, a lot of people make snap judgments on people when they have connections with their vehicles. And I think it's wrong because I do think that we've had those life, you know, we've gone through those life changes and this has been the solid, true, you know, solid and true, you know, person really that's been in your life, you know, spending time in that vehicle. You know, some of you have spent more time in your car than you have in your home. You just have. The adventures you've had. You know, the close calls, the relationship that you've developed as well. All these things are very important. All these things are things to take into consideration, which I think are very important. But let's go back to the depression stage. When you're in that depression stage, and I understand that, you begin to divide yourself from the vehicle because you've realized that you have to eventually let it go. And some of you, the car is now in another storage facility. Maybe the car is now in the garage, in the back corner of the garage. Maybe the car has been moved out to the from the garage and it's covered with a tarp. We're in that situation where we're not driving the car that much because we're trying to separate from that relationship. We're trying to do everything we can to make things work. We're trying to go in the right direction in that relationship. And so I'm right there and I'm almost at acceptance because I realize that I'm right there. I'm at the point where the car needs to be driven by someone who's going to drive it. The car can now find a new home and somebody will be very happy with that car and somebody will take good care of that vehicle because it'll be their vehicle. It'll be brand new to them. It'll be what they one. And so I'm actually getting to the point where I'm almost teetering from depression to acceptance. And anybody that's there knows exactly where I am. You've probably, you know, you go and you see the car. You probably touch the car. You probably feel bad that you haven't taken care of it like you said you were. And so now we're starting to kind of beat ourselves up over not doing it, creating even more havoc in our life and starting to think about, you know, okay, how do I move forward and what do I do? And so we'll be talking a little bit more about that because that's where I think many of you are. And we've all been there before, but it's taken me, you know, it's taken me a while to get to the depression acceptance piece so that I can move on and be able to see it for what it is. And that's truly, I think, what we all have to go through when a car has become very close to us, when we become very close to the vehicle. It's hard. It's become a friend in our life. It's become a family member in our life. And, you know, it's really there. It's really a connection that you have. And being able to accept that and grow with that is very powerful. And so when I return, I'll be talking more about that because, you know, if you're there now, it's like, what do we do next to make sure that this car gets a home that's right for it? How do we move forward? What do we do? And I also think there's a couple other things we can do, too, you know, to have a memory of it, you know, like how many pictures you have and those types of things, you know, having an experience, you know, doing, you know, some things before you sell it, you know, that you can really memorialize it as well. And And I think that's a valuable thing because, I mean, many of you have had great things happen in these cars, and you just want to memorialize that. So stay tuned. When we return, we're talking more about the depression and acceptance stage and how to move forward with that and things that you can do and ways that you can overcome feeling bad about moving on. Because I think that that's also a thing, too, is that we can begin to feel bad about it, about doing it. So stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Well, I'll be back this time in two shakes.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I've been talking about the emotional attachment to our vehicles and how we can get emotionally attached to our cars. We connect with them. We have all these really amazing memories with them, and then it's almost impossible to let them go. We get to the point where it's like they take on their own personality, their own relationship in our life, and it's just hard because it's like you're losing a friend. And anybody that's in the same boat as I am understands it is overwhelming and stressful to even think about selling your car in the beginning. I mean, you have to go through the stages of grief. You really do, because it's like letting go of a friend. It's like selling a friend. And it can be really, really stressful and sad. And so, you know, I had to do it. I'm actually having to do it myself. And I was just talking about the stages of grief earlier before the break. And, you know, I'm between the depression and acceptance stage now. And I know that many of you might not be there yet. I get that. You might be totally in a different stage. You might be, you know, in the beginning. You might be in the denial stage. And so any of you out there, I understand completely because I've been through each stage. I'm currently about to overcome the depression stage, and so I want to let you know that. And in the process of overcoming the depression stage, what I've realized is that I actually do need to move on. I do need to move on, and I'm there. I'm currently almost there. And I've realized that someone's going to take good care of my car because it's going to be a brand new car for them, and probably it's going to be their only car. So that car is going to be driven more often than not, and that's a really good thing. And so it's kind of like letting that person, you know, like letting the car go and do its thing, you know, be in the wild and be driven and taken care of and really believing that you're going to find the right person. And I'm going to eventually post here very soon and sell my car. But at the same time, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm still there. But it's like, I have to think about the things. And the car itself is safe. So when you think about a new car or a different car, you go, okay, well, maybe the other car is safe. My current car that I'm going to sell is a safe vehicle. It is a safe vehicle. Now, does it get a lot of, you know, good gas mileage? No, it doesn't. I mean, it can, but it's not, but it's very expensive, you know, and so that, and in and of itself, that's one reason. And then also, you know, the age of it is older, and so there's going to be less worry, I presume, that we can say too. And thinking about the other things too, is that, you know, I feel that once we jump the hump, and eventually when we let go of the car, and we know that the car is in a decent place, at that time, can we really have full acceptance? I really think. And I think before that, there's not real full acceptance. So knowing that it's going to be hurtful and painful, even when we do transfer the car title, do what we have to do, it's still going to be challenging. But then there'll be a few weeks, maybe even a month, that'll take us to get over it. Eventually we'll get over it and move forward in our lives. And this will be really, really helpful. And so everybody out there, I mean, there is a silver lining, because, you know, you can get another car. You will have another car. That other person that takes on the car will have that car, and they'll love that car in the process, you know. And I think having those some memories around that car, one of the biggest things, I've taken multiple photo shoots of that car. Maybe I should have a photo shoot with that car. I'm probably, before I sell it, I'm going to probably go out there and listen to some music in the car. Might even actually watch a movie, do that sort of thing, kind of do something to memorialize that vehicle. I'll probably, you know, and it's hard, you know. I mean, it's hard. It's a hard thing. I'll probably do maybe a couple of videos with it as well, because it's just, you know, it's one of those things. I just remember going for years and years and years to the studio in that car every night, driving to the studio for the radio show. I remember going everywhere. I remember driving all over God's green creation in that car. I remember taking Buddy in the car. I remember having friends and family in the car. I remember picking up people at the airport, going on trips. I remember all kinds of things that happened in that car, and those were really good times. And so, you know, being able to connect with that and understand that and seeing that and cherishing that and feeling that vibe and feeling those good things, and then, you know, eventually saying, okay, I get it, but I'm going to have to let this go. So for anybody out there that's in that situation, my heart goes out to you. I feel your pain. I am working to the acceptance piece right now, and I look forward to being able to say that I've eventually done it, so I can also just tell the tale. In the meantime, for anybody that's dealing with it, it's okay to be emotionally attached to your car. That's very normal. And it's okay to feel like you're having to explain yourself to family members and friends, because that can be challenging too, because we feel, why don't they understand us? Why don't they understand our dedication to our vehicle? And why do we have to explain ourselves? And for any of you that feel like you have to explain yourself, stop explaining yourself. Find other people that love their cars just as much as you, the ones that have named their cars, have given personality traits to their car. But eventually we have to do let them go when it is time. So I hope that this show has helped. For other back shows, past shows of Live Your Life Perspectives, check out AshleyBurgess.com. You can also go to Spreaker, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts, anything that a podcast is housed, Live Your True Life Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. Also, check out my website at ashleyburgess.com, B-E-R-G-E-S. And don't forget to check out YouTube. We got new video content up at least 3 or 4 times a week, so don't forget to check that out. In the meantime, it's okay to be emotionally connected with your car. It's just sometimes we got to let it go. Live Your True Life Perspectives. Me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in 3 shakes.
Calitrin is collagen. We're born with collagen. We lose it. You're putting back into your body what your body has naturally. There are no drugs. There are no stimulants. And what it does, it supports the lean muscle. It burns your stored fat. You're going to more than likely see inch loss before weight loss. That doesn't happen fast. Also, if you have anything joint-wise, muscle-wise, it's going to go there first. You know, your body breaks down the collagen protein, and one of those proteins is glycine, which helps your body sleep more soundly. So there's many, many benefits, but it's one of your few that your heart patients, your diabetics, if you're on prescription meds, it will not interact at all.
There's a 45-day money-back guarantee. Use the code DJV for free shipping and to get these BOGO deals. It's a great way to lose weight, the healthiest way to do it in America. Check it all out at toploss.com.